This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas, here's Matt Perrault.
Terry Rozier has gotten off to a strong start to this series. No turnovers in 78 minutes. How personally do you take that matchup?
Who?
Terry Rozier.
I don't even know who that is.
Come on, Eric. Who? Come on, Eric Bledsoe. You're better than that. You don't need that. It's a fun series. You don't need to throw some bad blood on this. Dude's played 78 minutes with no turnovers, scored 23 points last night for the Celtics. My goodness gracious, Eric Bledsoe. Adding that to the conversation here for the Celtics and the Buccaneers to help us continue that conversation. Mitchell Maurer, Brew Hoop, SB Nation's great Bucks site on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. Mitchell, Matt Perrault, how are you?
I'm doing well, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. So what do you make of Eric Bledsoe's comment last night talking who about Terry Rozier?
To me, it sounds a lot like a player who is one part frustrated with his own performance, which has not been up to par, and one part just his ego. Like, Bledsoe has long been a player that gets by in his instincts and athleticism, which that's great when you're a developing prospect in your early 20s, but here he is in his late 20s in a playoff series for the first time in a very long time, and he's been getting, I hate to say it, he has been getting solidly outplayed by Terry Rozier. There's no way you can place it up where that isn't the case. So I don't know if his pride hurts, if he's got a bruised ego, or what the issue is, but it is not a great look for Bledsoe. Not at all.
Down 0-2, game one was unbelievable. The overtime, I mean, the shot that was hit by Middleton was incredible. Boston played well in the OT. They're able to get the W, but in game two, what happened in Game 2? Why was Game 2 so different for the Bucks?
So the running theme for Milwaukee this year has been very up and down, very inconsistent. They rarely come prepared to play up to expectations when they're playing an evenly matched or superior team. A lot of fans, myself included, going into the series before Game 1 even, had a lot of confidence about the Bucks' talent disparity versus the Celtics, and we have high-level players that are healthy, whereas the Celtics' highest-level players, are not right now, and that's the sort of thing that we thought would give a pretty significant advantage. But on the flip side of that is the coaching disparity, where, Joe Prunty is, by and large, a lame duck. Nobody in the org will say it, but everybody kind of knows it, and he's still running a lot of the same squad schematic that Jason Kidd had installed during his tenure that were largely figured out by the rest of the league. And as a result, when you have players that are in a scheme that they either know doesn't work or have lost faith in otherwise, and for whatever reason can't be relied upon to put forth consistent effort on the biggest stage, the NBA playoffs, you have a team that isn't coming ready to play. And that is the polar opposite of from what we've seen from a Brad Stevens team. His teams, maybe they do have players that are less talented in the aggregate, but they're ready to play. There's no doubt about that. And the Bucks haven't matched that yet.
Hmm. Giannis is an amazing talent. I often say that the team with the best player on the floor in the playoffs generally wins the series. Milwaukee's got the best player on the floor, but they're down 2-0, and 93% of the time, the team up 2-0 winds up winning. What must change in Game 3 and beyond for Milwaukee to win this series?
Well, I can't put any of the blame at Giannis's feet. He scored, 35 in Game 1 and 30 in Game 2, and is, doing work on the boards as he always done, getting his teammates involved and getting a high number of assists like he's always done. Honestly, Giannis has come to play. Giannis always comes to play. Chris Middleton has showed up this series. Chris Middleton has been very good. But outside of those two, the Bucks haven't had that third player that steps up to fill the gap. In Game 1, Malcolm Brogdon definitely helped a lot more than we expected because he's still coming back and getting his conditioning back up to speed from that quad injury he suffered about two and a half months ago. But they're not getting the help that they need to get past a cohesive unit like the Celtics. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, young players, Jaylen Brown has certainly made some big strides this year, But there's no reason why the Bucks' main wing players shouldn't be able to go toe-to-toe and prevail against those two players. They're still young. They're still developing. There's no reason to expect why Giannis and Chris can't come out on top on that. But when Terry Rozier is, you know, protecting the ball and not committing any mistakes, meanwhile the Bucks commit 20 turnovers in game one, 15 turnovers in game two, they're not coming ready to go. They don't have the right energy. They're not focused. They keep giving the ball away, which is a death knell against a team that, if I may be honest, the Celtics offense, you know, barring their game three performance, their offense isn't that good because they don't have a ton of shot creators right now, missing Kyrie and Hayward for the total of the season. But if they keep getting extra chances, what do you expect? So there's the list of problems with the Bucks right now is a long one. I hope that they can come correct on Friday, but I have my concerns.
You know, Mitchell, what surprised me is it seems like Milwaukee does not know how to defend Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I mean, Terry Rozier is a backup point guard who's played tremendously well. He's shooting the ball really well right now, but that's somewhat inconsistent. His play this year, his whole career has been sort of up and down. He's playing very well right now. He may continue that, but he hasn't played a whole season like the way he's playing right now. But Tatum and Brown seem to be the two guys that are giving them the most fits right now. Milwaukee's long and lengthy. They've got defenders. Why are they struggling to stop Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum?
I mean, I'm not a full-time coach at the NBA level, so I really couldn't tell you exactly what the diagnosis is and how to fix it. But if I had to take a crack at it, which you're having me on your show, you're being kind enough to give me some time, so I'll take a crack at it. The Bucks have definitely dialed back the aggression on their defense that Jason Kidd was infamous for. And I keep bringing up Jason Kidd, even though he got fired months ago, because his handprints are all over the team. Everything he installed, everything that he built with his staff and assistants, including Sean Sweeney, who is the architect of the Bucks defense and is still on the staff, they were way too aggressive for much of the season, and Joe Prunty dialed that back some. They blitzed less. They decided to switch more, but they don't switch enough. You're right. The Bucks do have, at least as far as I can tell, they have unmatched length and athleticism with some of their wing players. Like, we need to put Giannis out there with Chris Middleton, Malcolm Brogdon, Tony Snell, even John Henson, who isn't known as a shutdown defender but is a decent rim protector. Like, they all have excellent length, and they all move either relatively well on the perimeter or exceptionally well on the perimeter. They need to switch more. They should switch everything, as far as I'm concerned. They need to stop trying to go through screens. Eric Bledsoe in particular, who's also a good defender when he's engaged, which he hasn't been. But Eric Bledsoe historically has been somebody who's able to get through screens and stay to his man, and he hasn't done that. But they need to switch. They have enough guards that are strong enough to, at the very least, you know, make somebody work in the post, Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum. And they're not doing that. They're trying to maintain some of the defensive principles without, you know, there's no success with those principles because of how flawed they are at their core. So that's my prescription. Switch more. Switch as often as possible. Play the starters more so that you have all of your talent. Even maybe it's just a two-game slump for Bledsoe and he'll shake it off. Who knows? But you got to play your talented guys. You got to switch as much as you can and just try to keep – if the Celtics keep passing the ball, that's a good thing because it means they're not finding easy shots. And even though the Celtics are having to work for it, they are working to get those easy shots. And so switching more should, because execution is another portion of it that I have no control over. It should be a step in the right direction, at least.
Yeah, I hear you. Mitchell, great stuff. Thanks for the time. Enjoy Game 3 on Friday.
Hey, my pleasure. You as well.
That is Mitchell Maurer from Brew Hoop, SB Nation's great site covering the Milwaukee Bucks on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. We have a statement from Golden Boy Promotions about the 6-month suspension handed down to, this morning here in Vegas for Canelo Alvarez. I'll give you that. I'll read you that statement. But first, let's hear from our friend Mike Herzing. It's time for our daily automotive tip, thanks to Jeep.